The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sealed and sent ahead of him in pairs, sent to every town and place he intended to visit. And he said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way, and behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceable person lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from house to house. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
I am a work in progress. I missed two Sundays, and I'm doing just fine. I'm just not ready to climb the mountain yet, but I'm well, and whatever infirmity visited me for the last couple of weeks is not unto death. So I expect to be around for another while. This is good. Thank you. Let me reflect on this gospel reading, which comes from the book of Mark. It's from the book of Luke, and it's found only in Luke. The manner in which I structure my homilies, first of all, I look at some background, some context, perhaps some understanding of the Word of God, some Greek word that might be of interest, to put the teaching into context. And the second effort I make in a homily is to deal with the teaching of God's Word. And finally, to put that into practice. What does that mean to us as we are followers of Jesus Christ on this day? They are sent to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. They will be different. They are sent like lambs among wolves. They are to take no money bag, no sack with provisions, wear no sandals, and depend on the hospitality and the charity of those they meet. In contradiction to the power of the world, the power given to them is to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand. A kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of understanding, a kingdom of blessing, a kingdom of hope, and also a kingdom of welcoming, to reach out and touch the poor and welcome the stranger, the foreigner. That's the kingdom that they are to proclaim. What does this mean to us in practice? It means the Word of God is alive. The Word is alive today, and we are the ones sent in Jesus Christ to proclaim the kingdom of God as it is today in our midst. What does this mean to us in practical terms?
We have a very passionate conflict in our midst today with undocumented persons. If you stand back far enough from undocumented persons, they will look like aliens. We may call them aliens. They're persons. They're real persons with feelings. They're just like us, trying to find the best way in the world. People who stand back far away can make judgments. They don't feel the pain. They haven't heard the anguish. They haven't shared the tears. They're talking about people that are way beyond their knowing. They're just people on paper. They're not real people who are wounded, who are hurt. People who dream, a dream that belongs to every one of us. Decent, honorable people, not criminals now, but decent, honorable, hardworking people seeking a new life, asking us for hospitality, for understanding, asking us to see the gift that they are in our midst. So what does this gospel mean? Can we listen and walk away? Can we hear the word of God and ignore it? Do we pray over the word of God? And having prayed over the word of God, listen to the word of God and wonder what challenge the word of God has for us. They were told you'll be lambs among wolves. You will be contradicted. You will suffer pain. You will be misunderstood. If you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, all this will come to you as part of your proclamation. So where does it leave us? In the spiritual life, we speak about two conditions. One is called the magna anima, and the other the pusilla anima. The magna anima is the great soul. The great soul is the soul that forgives, the soul that blesses those who fail, the person who forgives. The generous soul is the magna anima. The pusilla anima, legalistic, picky, demanding, imposing, judgmental. That's the little soul. And if we look at the journey of life for ourselves, we will see where there are times when we have a great soul. We have a great soul. We like to bless people. We help people. We forgive people. We welcome people. We listen to people. We understand people in the power of Jesus Christ. Magna anima. And then there are times when we're selfish. Self-interest governs us. Self-interest decides the manner in which we respond. What will it do for us? That's the small soul. So now listen to the word of God. Do we just listen to the word of God and walk away? Do we listen to the word of God and pray? Pray and wonder what the word of God truly means to us in the manner in which we live. Thinking about this, I had this thought that there's a little voice, very easy to miss. And the voice is full of fear. The voice is lonely. The voice is lost. And this voice in prayer will speak to us in this way. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one whom you follow, would you please give to me just a little of the great abundance that God has given to you?
not to change your life, just to give a modicum of care, a modicum of understanding, something generous that comes from the great soul within us. That, I think, is the meaning of this gospel today in the greater Los Angeles area, where we have many, many people suffering greatly, full of fear, hardworking, long hours, supporting families, hurting nobody. I asked somebody who said, send them all away, and I said, are they hurting you? Are they diminishing you? Or are they calling you to be a greater person than you are right now? Are they summoning from you something deeper and more powerful, more generous, more caring, more in the likeness of Jesus Christ? That's what the Word of God means to me today. And I hope as a community of believers, followers of Jesus Christ, we will be governed by the magna anima. Here's the last thing I will say here. I've used this image before, about 300 years before Christ. There was a Turkish king. His name was Pyrrhus. Pyrrhus was very powerful. He had a conquering army. The thing that I most remember about him, I studied this in high school in the history of the Roman Empire, he had war elephants. Nobody else had war elephants except Pyrrhus. And they were very successful, they were very powerful. And about 300 years, 366 to be exact, Pyrrhus had two great victories over the powerful Roman Empire. And after the second victory, he said his generals came to him to rejoice over the victory. And Pyrrhus said, if we have another victory like this, we'll be finished. He lost more than he gained. He lost so much of his army, and he had no replacements, but the Romans did have replacements. This came to be called a Pyrrhic victory. And in many ways, what we're looking at with undocumented today, they're our brothers, they're our sisters. We can exile them, we can be governed by self-interest, we can be governed by selfishness, or we can share. And to go one way, my friends, we damage the soul of our greatest tradition and the soul of who we are today. And that, my friends, would be a Pyrrhic victory. Amen. Thank you.